Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 16 today. Jesus is still praying for his disciples. The thing that he prays for those disciples who were alive at that point is also something that he has prayed for us and also has an application to us as well. And he says in this prayer to his Father in John 17, beginning at verse 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." This is the Word of God.
Thank you, God.
Omaha, Nebraska, September 22nd, 2000. With a friend present, 16-year-old James R. Walsh performed a satanic ritual before smothering his sleeping father, according to search warrants issued in court. Walsh was charged Thursday with the premeditated murder of James L. Walsh, 42, who was found dead in a delivery van last week. His son's friend, Timothy J. Walsh, 20, was charged as an accessory, accused of helping dispose of the body. Investigators confiscated what they described as a, quote, satanic ritual altar made of a box top, along with two candles, a dragon statue, dragon cards, and a homemade water pipe from the Walsh's home in Omaha, according to search warrants filed in the Douglas County District Court. Friends of the younger Walsh say he isn't a devil worshiper. They say he practiced Wicca, or witchcraft, a religion based on the nature worship of ancient Europe. Quote, "Our magic is just like a Christian or Catholic praying," said Zerlina Eichscheid, a friend of Walsh's who practices Wicca. In recent years, there's been a revival of the occult, of spiritism, of demonism, demon worship even, in the United States. Many books and movies labeled thrillers are about demon possession or about Satan's power. Each one of these, from Rosemary's Baby back in the 1970s to The Exorcist to Poltergeist or to modern TV movies, presents an unbiblical view of Satan and his power and his ability, and especially of the method of delivering someone from the devil's clutches. Not once is Christ presented as the sole answer, and his power is not once claimed to be able to defeat the devil. The Bible presents an entirely different picture from that of modern novels and movies and TV shows. Now, the passage that we're looking at today tells us a number of things, and one of the things it tells us is why the movies of Hollywood don't tell you the truth. And it's quite simple. It has to do with this hatred of the world toward Christ and Christians. "I have given them your word," Jesus says to his Father, "and the world has hated them." Why is it that today's movies and TV shows and books present a different view of Satan and deliverance from Satan and his schemes than that of the Bible? Well, it's quite simply because the world's view is influenced by Satan, and he thinks he's greater than he is. And also because the world hates Christians, because we have the Word of God. And the Word of God is the absolute truth on this particular matter and all other matters. And the world really can't stand claims about absolute truth. You see, we are not of the world. Jesus said, "Because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Your possession of the Word of God as Christians means that you are not of the world. You don't have the world's outlook on anything, at least you're not supposed to, and especially you don't have the world's outlook about the devil. You're different, just as Christ was different Your possession of a new birth, a birth from heaven, makes you otherworldly, and therefore your origin in heaven causes you, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be different from others. The word of the Father that Christ brings to you is not something that man naturally possesses. It has to be given to you by Christ, and it's given today in and through, only in and through, the Word of God. And so the Bible and the Bible alone makes you otherworldly. It makes you able to possess truth that nobody else can find because it's only contained in the Holy Scriptures. And the world doesn't have that truth. The world doesn't have it. Movies don't tell the truth about Satan because basically, they're under the control of worldly thinking men, and worldly thinking men are blinded to the truth by Satan himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." And so, popular books and movies and TV shows come up with all sorts of ways to get rid of the devil, but all of these ways reject or sneer at or despise the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in those books and movies and TV shows, the hatred in them is focused not so much on the devil as on the Christian church, because we claim to have the truth in this matter. I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, I saw the movie Poltergeist on TV. Now, I don't recommend that you do that. But there's one thing, and only one thing, that I remember from that movie that really stands out. And it stands out because, as a Christian, I was shocked to hear what was said. I'm not surprised to hear it, but I was shocked to hear it. In that movie, there is this kindly old medium, this witch, who is called upon to rid the house of these poltergeists that are inhabiting it. And she says to the family something along the lines of this: "Forget all about what you read in the Bible. Forget all about what you have heard in church, and trust me." That is the message that Hollywood presents about how to deal with the devil. The Bible doesn't have the answer. The church doesn't have the answer. Christ is not the answer, according to Hollywood. Therefore, what we have to do is we have to out-magic the devil. We have to out-scheme the devil. We have to be better at being the devil than the devil is in order to win the victory over him. And that is the opposite of what the Bible teaches to us. The world rejects our message, and it hates us and the message at the same time. So, why not just give up? Why not long to get out of the world? Because after all, are we really in or out of it? And should we be? When we're faced with the unbelief of sinners, when we're faced with the attacks of the devil and of sinners upon us, the fact that things don't go the way we want them to go most often, sometimes even godly men have prayed to be taken out of the world. Even such men as Moses. Moses, when the people demanded meat to eat, when the people demonstrated their lack of faith in the Lord God Almighty, Moses reached the point of despair, and Moses himself in Numbers 11 cried out this way: "I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Moses was pastor of a congregation of 2.5 million people by himself, big mega church, wandering in the desert, a group of folks that were basically unconverted, and a group of folks that wanted their own way and argued with him all the time. And Moses, at one particular point, just reached the end of his rope and he said, "God, if you love me, kill me! I can't take it anymore." Elijah did the same thing. Elijah has just come from a great victory on Mount Carmel in which he has called down fire from heaven, fire that has even eaten stones. And then he has taken a sword in his hand and he has himself personally killed 450 prophets of Baal. Now, you would think that immediately upon doing that, and the people cried out, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God," you would think that they would also cry out, "Elijah for president." But they don't. They had a king, and you'll remember that the king in that day was the wicked king Ahab, and his even more wicked wife, Queen Jezebel. And it's Jezebel who hears about what's happened and who puts out a contract on Elijah's life. You would think that Elijah, just having killed 450 men who were opponents of God, wouldn't be afraid of this wicked queen, but he was. As soon as he hears about this contract on his life, it says in 1 Kings 19, "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" God doesn't take his life. God feeds him supernaturally. Elijah gets up. He goes to the other end of the country. He climbs a mountain. He hides in a cave. And he prays the same prayer. "God, I just want to die." Jonah. Jonah prays to die. Not when he's swallowed in the belly of a fish, but when God shows grace and mercy to his enemies. When the Ninevites repent and are not destroyed by God, Jonah in chapter 4 says, "Now therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live." These were godly men. They reached the end of their rope. They were confronted by evil. They were confronted by wickedness. Jonah was confronted by the grace of God toward his enemies. And all three of these men prayed, "God, just kill me here and now. I can't take it anymore. I just want to die." And none of these prayers to die was answered by God by saying yes. None of them. Because God's people's place is in the world, even though we are not of the world. That's why the doctrine of the secret rapture of the church is wrong. God's not going to take his people out of the world and then continue to work conversions without us and without the Holy Spirit present. Instead, God has ordained, and he tells us in Scripture, to use the foolishness of the message preached to save his elect. God has ordained to do that. And so, Christian, you're not going to be taken out of the world because you have a task to perform, and that task is to bear witness to Christ, to testify over and over again. But along with that, there is divine protection. "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." So instead of being taken out of the world, so that you cannot be harmed by the world's hatred or the devil's schemes, Christ instead prays to the Father that you would be protected from the evil one. That's it. Your safety as a Christian doesn't consist in being free from all the troubles of life so that you can just live a life of ease and pleasure or however you want to, but it consists in being kept safe by God's help in the midst of trials, in the midst of dangers. In commenting on this particular passage, John Calvin said, "God does not take his people out of the world because he does not want them to be soft and slothful, but he delivers them from all evil that they may not be overwhelmed. For he wishes them to fight, but he does not allow them to be mortally wounded." And so, you and I have protection from the evil one promised in Scripture. The Bible teaches that because you have been regenerated, because you have been born of God, because the Holy Spirit indwells you, because you are covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because sanctification is operative in you, therefore you cannot be touched by Satan. The Lord is faithful. Paul said to the Thessalonians, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. You see, it's God who protects you from the evil one. And therefore, that results in you as a Christian being given the grace to keep yourself. The grace of the mercy of God to keep yourself. In 1 John 5, verse 18, we read this. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now, as we read in 1 John during the worship service today, we're going to continue to read that. It keeps talking about the Christian does not sin. And the problem there is it sounds like once you have been saved that all of a sudden you're perfectly holy and nothing ever happens to you and you never once the rest of your life commit a sin. That's not what's being said. Because the King James doesn't translate the verb tense the way it ought to be translated. It ought to be translated as the ESV translates it, does not continue to sin. It's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about the fact that when you have become a Christian, you are in the process of being sanctified and you continue in the way of righteousness and holiness. You do not continue in the way of sin the rest of your life. But what it also says is the devil, though he can tempt you as a Christian, he cannot force you to sin and he cannot even touch you because you are being guarded by Christ and you are guarding yourself in the way of righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have an ESV and you look at 1 John 5:18 and you compare it with the King James and the New King James, you'll see that there's a difference in the way it's translated. It all has to do with the fact that there is a word in that sentence that's different in the text by one letter. And it results in the translation of either he keeps himself or the one who is born of God keeps him. The King James and the New King James say the one who is born of God keeps himself. It's talking about the Christian guarding his life in the faith, in the way of faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ESV and the New American Standard and others translate it, the one who is born of God keeps him. And what that means is that the Lord Jesus, the one who is born of God, keeps and guides and guards believers in the way. So which one's true? Both are. Theologically, both things are true. I'm not going to give you the answer to which one is the best text here. But I am going to say that both are true because both are taught not only there but elsewhere in Scripture. Christ keeps His people, and the Christian is given the grace to persevere to the very end and guard his life in the faith in Christ. Both are true. During his earthly ministry, as Jesus was confronted by demons and as he confronted demons, the demons were afraid of him. You don't read anywhere in Scripture Jesus running in fear because somebody was demon-possessed. Not at all. Never going to find any such thing. Instead, and what you discover is that the demons were afraid of him and they were afraid of his disciples, not the other way around, which is the way it is in all these TV movies and books today. So, what we need to think about is the way in which we are to act toward the devil and demons according to what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is very clear. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Or as Peter said, 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so both James and Peter tell you, resist the devil. Stand firm against the devil. Stand firm in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not you who need fear the devil. Or demons, because Christ is there as your protector, and the Holy Spirit also indwells you as your protector. In 1 John 4:4, as John is talking about our relationship to God, he says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." And in the context, he's talking about false spirits, the Antichrist, all those who oppose God. And he says, you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And in the context of the passage, the one who is in you is the Holy Spirit. He indwells every Christian. The one who is in the world is the devil. And so the picture that's presented in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the devil. And so we've got a true picture painted for us in Scripture as opposed to the false picture of Hollywood. The false picture of the world, the false picture of Hollywood is basically this, that the devil is equal with God the Father, that he is more powerful than all men, and that the only way to defeat him is to have greater magic powers than he has, or to be smarter than he is. And, of course, they also add Christ and the church are all wrong about this. Now, that's the false picture. There is a true picture. The true biblical picture is this. The devil is a creature created by God and under his control. Read the book of Job, first two chapters especially, where the devil has to seek permission from God to tempt Job, and God limits what the devil can do. The legion of demons inhabiting the man have to seek permission from Jesus to leave and where to go, and when they're cast into a herd of pigs. The biblical picture is that the devil is indeed more powerful than unbelievers. He blinds their minds, but he is no match for the Christian. That is, a believer, in order to defeat the devil, must resist the devil by standing firm in the Christian faith. And when you do that, the Bible says, he will flee from you. The power of the Holy Spirit, according to the true picture, the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells you, who is within you, is greater than the power of Satan and demons who are outside of you. Just a side note, a footnote on this. This means that no Christian can be demon-possessed. Please understand that. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And only there's no room in a Christian's life for a demon to dwell alongside of the Holy Spirit. That's an impossibility. And so Christians cannot be demon-possessed. The devil can't even touch you, but he can tempt you. I remember reading a sermon one time. I think Spurgeon was the one that gave the sermon. It was Martin Lloyd-Jones. That's what it was. In one of his books on Romans. He was talking about the devil. And he said, just have this picture in your mind. Here are two fields divided by a road. And in one field, there is this harsh taskmaster known as Satan. And that's where you were born, and that's where you grew up, and that's where you listened to him, and you heard the crack of his whip, and you learned to do what he said. And on the other side of the road is a field, and the taskmaster over that field is Jesus Christ, whose burden is light, it's easy. And in conversion, God plucks you up out of the field of Satan and takes you across the road and sets you down in the field of Christ. And there you learn to love and honor and serve him, and as I said, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And the devil can't cross the road to get to you. But what he can do is he can stand on the edge of the road and he can holler at you the way he used to holler at you when you were in his field. And all too often you act just like you were still in his field. When he says jump, you jump. And when he says sin, you sin. Although he can't touch you. And although he can't force you, but you had grown up listening to him in that way. And sanctification is learning to listen to the new taskmaster who is Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit within rather than listening to the old taskmaster who was the devil. I thought it was a great illustration And it shows the biblical picture that the devil really can't touch you. He can tempt you. And you often want to do what he says because sin still dwells within your flesh. But he cannot harm you in any way. Now, when you see that picture, then you can understand that only Christians can resist the devil. And only Christians resist the devil because of the truth of the gospel message and of the protection of God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed watches over and guards and guides and protects you, and the Holy Spirit who indwells you and empowers you to resist the devil. And so the only way that any human being can resist the devil is by the power and the authority and the protection of the triune God. That's Scripture. That's why worldlings can't resist the devil and don't want to resist the devil. That's why only Christians can. So don't fear the devil. Instead, the Bible says fear God. Isn't it interesting? That's what we're told. Submit yourselves unto God. Fear Him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the picture that's presented in Scripture. Serve God, fear Him. The devil cannot harm you, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, and because Jesus has prayed for us, not that we would be taken out of the world, but that God would keep us from the evil one. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a marvelous privilege it is to know You. What a marvelous grace it is to be called sons and daughters of God. How we thank You for Your protection. How we thank You for the blood and the holy righteousness of Christ. How we thank You for the indwelling Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. How we thank You, Triune God, that You enable us to resist the devil. And Father, we pray that we might indeed continue to do so all of our lives by Your grace and by Your mercy, that we might prove ourselves to be the sons and daughters of the Almighty, those who have been redeemed out of the world, who are no longer in Satan's field, but are now in the field of the kingdom of heaven, over which we have a glorious master, Jesus Christ, whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. Bless us, Father, to serve Him all the days of our lives. By faith, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.